Yep, here we go again. Time to unwrap the Sunday papers and slip into another news cycle. Yes, I know, but it can't be any worse than last week. The Sunday Telegraph sets the ball rolling with an insightful examination.
In case you've forgotten, these are just some of the reasons Kevin Rudd is no longer Prime Minister of Australia. Earwax, he ate his own in Parliament. Is there anything more to say?
And you thought Australian politics was turning into an absurd mess of triviality and spite. Silly you. The truth is, Australian politics is turning into an absurd mess of sexist triviality and spite. As this morning's Sun Herald reports,
brutal edge of sexism revealed. Gender is firmly on the election agenda.
And you'd have to say they have a point. Dodgy menus, army sex scandals, Howard Sattler. It's been a week for it. It's also been the week one former New South Wales Premier got mail.
Christina Keneally didn't want to get dragged into the sexism debate, but then an envelope arrived in the mail. It was addressed to the approving socialist slut at Basketball Australia.
A sadly typical, sadly hateful response to an old planning decision, it turned out. But further evidence there in the Sun Herald that for women with their heads above the parapet in Australian public life, well, you can expect a face full of sexist denigration.
The Sun Herald asked five prominent women to reflect on what the week said about the treatment of women in Australia. Is sexism alive? A rank hostility to women has emerged in Australian public life, said former West Australian Premier and Federal Health Minister Carmen Lawrence.
Makes for confronting reading, which, as we know, is the literary genre favoured by News Limited's own Miranda Devine, who attempts in this morning's Sunday Telegraph to unravel the populist wonder that is Kevin Rudd.
His appeal is part fame and personal magnetism, and partly due to the enormous phalanx of cameras and fluffy microphones which move in concert with him, creating a great bristling organism, all hard black metal on the outside, with a shining golden head at its heart.
Quite something to behold.
He is energised by the thrusting machinery, the tripping cords, the chattering camera shutters and flapping notebooks of the media he's summoned to follow his triumphal parade through Labor electorates.
It would seem that this thrusting, bristling organism is propelled not only by its own drive for power, but also by the dire predicament of its foe, Prime Minister Julia Gillard.
None of her calculated machinations will revive her poll numbers. The predicament she is in is entirely her own doing. Trying to be too clever by half, she's alienated the people. So, who can blame Rudd for filling the vacuum?
Who indeed? He may be the golden heart of a dark, bristling, thrusting organism, but he's only human. Enough of this political two-step. Other matters are afoot. ABC News reports this morning that, wonder of wonders,
internet giant Google has launched an ambitious plan to use a ring of huge balloons to provide internet to two-thirds of the world currently without web access.
Perhaps the nicest thing about this brave new piece of airborne networking, it's called Project Loon. Defensive homicide, that's the sobering subject chosen by this morning's Sunday Age. It seems that
Victoria's defensive homicide law has been a failure, with offenders using it as an opportunity to get away with murder.
Here too, there is an undertone of gender conflict.
The law is being used in ways it was not intended, almost always by men who kill other men. By contrast, only three cases involved women who killed their male partners following domestic abuse.
Before you give way to despair, well, the paper also notes that
happy ever after. We want it for ourselves, we want it for our kids, and we want it now. But what if everything we know about happiness is a lie? And what if the relentless pursuit of pleasure is in fact making us miserable?
And there you have it. Giving way to despair might be just what we're after. This morning's big news, though, comes from the Middle East. In The Guardian, we read that change is afoot in Iran.
The moderate cleric Hassan Rouhani has won the Iranian election and will succeed Mahmoud Ahmadinejad as president, Iran's interior minister announced on national television on Saturday.
This is not a change to be underestimated. As the New York Times reports,
in a striking repudiation of the ultra-conservatives who wield power in Iran, voters here overwhelmingly elected a mild-mannered cleric who advocates greater personal freedoms and a more conciliatory approach to the world.
This is truly democracy in action and a moment of popular decision likely to have tremendous impact beyond the Iranian borders.
The hardline conservatives aligned with the supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, finished at the back of the pack of six candidates, indicating that Iranians were looking to their next president to change the tone, if not the direction of the nation. By choosing a cleric who served as the lead nuclear negotiator under an earlier reformist president, Mohammad Khatami.
The world will watch and wait.